incense. Some people near death and they smell like it. But here's some frankincense to change the atmosphere, to shift the way things are, to make it smell better, to make your life better. When you get into worship and offer to him, all I got to offer you, Lord, all I got to offer you is this gold, frankincense, and this myrrh, the tribulations, the suffering. Lord, through my suffering, I still worship you. Through my tribulation, I'm going to still worship you. I'm going to still worship you. Through the pain, I'm still worshiping. Do I have anybody here that say, I came to worship?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, now as we come and prepare our hearts and minds and spirits to hear your word, release the perfect teaching, preaching, ministry of the Holy Ghost in this place and in your people, that he may make clear and plain your word, that we may have understanding and illumination of the text, and then power to practice it. We give you all the praise and the glory as you give us the power and the good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. We want to lift out of this chapter a few verses, beginning at verse 8. And it reads as follows. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to speak for just a little while from the subject, delayed for the purpose of deliverance. Delayed for the purpose of deliverance. Peter here is dealing with some saints who have somehow got a hold of some erroneous teachings concerning the coming back of Christ Jesus and the day of the Lord, that mighty and powerful and tormentous day that shall come upon all flesh, that is opposite of the right relationship and fellowship with him, and bring destruction upon all wicked and evil people. Some of the saints have become relaxed in their practices. They have lowered their standards, and they have found themselves mixing and blending with the world's philosophies. They have somehow taken a break in their steadfast watch for the coming of the Lord. And as a result, many of the saints who kept in remembrance the fact that Jesus was on his way again before the believers, many of them now sleep and are not in their presence and so forth. And so because there is not that constant reminder, there's not that constant message that Jesus is coming back, there is not that constant reminder that we must keep our lives in order, because the way that he's coming and how he's coming, it prepares us to know that we should stay in a ready position. But without having those to bring back to our remembrance, without having those who continue to keep up before us the fact that Jesus is coming back again, just like them, so are we relaxed and at ease in Zion. Amen. Paul, and Peter rather, jealously says to them that there were some holy prophets before them that they heard, and though they are apostles who walked with Jesus and ministered with Jesus, they also have the same standards and the same authority that the prophets of old, who were considered holy even before Jesus, who prophesied about his first coming. They felt they had the same authority, and they did not and were not received quite as seriously as some of the prophets who now slept. Peter's dealing with a lot of this, and he brings on the day of the Lord at the conclusion of his second letter, because he wants the church to realize that the devil, if anything at all, wants you to become so at ease that he will find you, when Jesus, talking about Jesus coming back, he will find you lax and without your equipment and without your readiness, and thus without your preparedness to go back with him. The devil has tried many things, but all of that has missed it and failed. But the one thing that he has caused, and that is that delay, that effect of us thinking Jesus is coming, but we've got a lot of time. That ability to feel like, well, I know I'm saved, but I don't have to become sanctified right now. I've got a little time to live. I know that my life belongs to the Lord, but I'm going to live a little bit right now, and I'll deal with getting it straight a little later. Look, if you will, verse 1 says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Now, right here, he's qualifying that if you believe what they said, the prophets, the holy prophets, before we came on the scene, then certainly we who walk with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you should adhere to what we're saying as well. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this day willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Amen. Now, what Peter was saying is, I know y'all don't understand it, and you don't even realize that that was a world before this world that we're now living in, where men were evil and wicked and went against the will of God, and that world was destroyed by water. Amen. He said, but the only reason why everything is stayed in its place is because God has spoken the word, and nothing is going to happen until he says so. Amen. And because of his power and by his word, everything is just waiting on his command. But this time, it won't be destroyed by water. It's going to be destroyed by fire. Now look at what he goes on to say in verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now look at what he's trying to do now. He's trying to help them to realize that time is based and measured by God's standards. Amen. See, what God has to work with in terms of time, he has eternity on his side. But we are temporal beings, and we only have a limited amount of time. The same 1,000 years in God's sight is the same as one day to him. But to us, one day is not the same as 1,000 years. And so he's trying to help us to understand, and behooves us to understand, that if we're going to get our lives together, we don't have 1,000 years to do it. We only have, but right now, it is in God's power and God's ability and time reference based upon God's power and ability to rule and to superrule, to call and to speak those things not as though they were, to orchestrate and to give authority to whatever he chooses, but to him it's all on his time frame. And we do not know the coming of the Lord, nor the day of the Lord, and how he's going to come. So it means that we've got to take another chance at getting ourselves together. Listen to what Peter's saying. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Now that ought to bless somebody right now. Because if the Lord said he's going to do something, guess what? He's going to do it. Now, on the basis of Peter saying before this verse that time was on God's side, it ought to help us to understand that just because he don't come, as grandmama used to say, when we want, doesn't mean he ain't going to show up, because he has time to work on his side. And then we talked earlier about the fact that the word perform means that God comes up and he does things in such a magnificent way that when he actually does something, perform is tied in and connected with a performance. So that means when he shows up, he also shows out. And he wants the enemy to understand that he has the power to change, to conquer, and to control everything. So why does he have to get in a hurry when time is on his side? Yeah. Them to go on? Because anything that man has to deal with, God has already dealt with. Anything that man is concerned about, God already knows his concerns. Anything that man puts up as a problem, God already has an answer to it. If God has the power to change, to conquer, and to control, then that means assuredly that what God does, he does first for his own will, and he blesses those who obey and submit to his will. All the way through the word, when you look at situations that seem to be terrible as far as man is concerned, situations that seem to be overpowering and overwhelming, and then saints who knew that their lives aligned themselves with God's word wondered why God didn't show up in a more timely way. Mary and Martha were upset with Jesus because he didn't show up when they thought he should have showed up. But what they didn't understand was that time on his side was different than time on their side. He delayed his coming so that he could bring deliverance from their warped sense of thinking, number one. And secondly, to help them understand that what they were looking for, they were looking at. They wanted a resurrection experience, but they didn't know they were looking at the resurrection. They were already alive in the flesh and dead in their spirit, and they didn't even know that they were looking at the one who could resurrect them, and yet they thought they had to wait till the last day, the general resurrection, and they didn't know that Jesus Christ was right there to do a work in them that none other could do. When he delays himself, it's because he's got a bigger point to prove. It's because he's trying to show you who he really is and that you aren't all you think you are. Sometimes in his delaying, it is so that we might mature and that we might grow and that he might understand that we know that he is the one that we should be focused on and not us of and through ourselves for the answer to whatever the crisis or the situation may be. He wants us to look to him as the source of all of our needs. Now, I want you to see this because he's talking about a growing process here. He's talking about staying focused. He's talking about aligning oneself. And that's not always easy because the devil, soon as you try to get your life together, is going to try everything he can to get you off the course. Amen. Now, listen at this now. He's so full of trickery. He's so smooth as silk that he will even use the people you love the most. If he can't get underneath your skin, he'll get to somebody who can. If he can't upset your nerves, he'll get to somebody who can upset your nerves. If he can't work on them, he'll get somebody who can work on them. He will do what it takes to try and pull you away, and we must stay focused because the word of God is clear. Listen to what it says again. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God honors what he says. He doesn't answer some and then answer not others. Whatever he said he's going to do, he's going to do it. But what you got to realize is if he sees and knows the best time to do it, it may not be when you think it is. See, all you got are your concerns in mind. He's got the whole world's concern in mind. He's got you and everybody else that he has to deal with. So just because you think he ought to come and answer and deliver and do at one point in time doesn't necessarily mean that's what he's going to do. But no, if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And the sisters didn't understand and they got mad and one didn't want to come. He had to call and they wanted to know and come there when they finally met him and say, you know, if you had been here, our brother had not died. That's how the word puts it. Now, Jesus didn't have a problem with that. He understood that, but he was trying to get them to see a bigger picture.
Amen.
Do you really know where Lazarus is? Yeah, he in the grave. No, that's not where Lazarus is. That's where his body is. Do you know where Lazarus is? Yeah. Another account tells us that he was in the bosom of Abraham. But they didn't know that. All they knew was the natural side of life. And all he did was go to the grave and call him by name. And anybody know what the story says? Lazarus got up. After 4 days, after his body had already begun to stink. That wasn't a problem for the Lord. So whatever isn't a problem for the Lord, I've learned ain't a problem for me. If he can fix it, then it ain't no need for me to be losing my sleep, my rest, my senses, or anything else about it if God can handle it. Now listen to what the Bible says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. How many of you are glad that he's not slack concerning his promise? But then how many of us are really glad that the only reason why he's taking his time and not dealing with you and me according to our deeds at this moment is because he's trying to give us time to get it together, to get it straight. How many times in your own life when you know God should have slammed the door shut in your face and he opened it up, he wasn't doing it because you deserved it. He was doing it so hopefully you'd realize that he's giving you another chance. He's giving you an opportunity to be delivered from your situation and condition and come to the one who loves you better than you love yourself. How many times when you knew you should have been cursed and he blessed you, it was not because of you, but by his grace, his amazing grace, he did that for you. How many of us have sinned? The same sin? Again and again? Why don't you think he just X'd us off the earth when we did that over and over again, but yet he was long-suffering to us, Ward, hoping that before it's too late, you'll recognize you need to get it together before you won't have a chance to do that. And it behooves us, those of us who have been down and who have been all that God would not have us to be. And once we come into the saving grace, we want to execute judgment expeditiously on somebody else. Isn't it amazing how we forget what we used to be? What we used to do, where we used to go, how we used to do it, when we want to execute judgment on somebody else? But you need to be careful. Galatians 6a, if a brother be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, leave the judging to God. Your decision and desire for God is to help somebody get to where they ought to be so that God can give them like he's given you another chance. Amen. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. But is long-suffering to us, that's you and me, not just you, not just me, that's all of us, us ward. You know what ward means? It means all of us in the same condition. You might just be in another place, but you in the same ward. You ought to hear me. There are some hospitals, they call them wards because there are many beds in the same ward, and you might be on one side of the room, but my brother, my sister, you in the same, y'all gonna wake up and catch it sooner or later. So look at this. He says, not willing. That's why you ain't done in yet. That's why your life ain't over with yet. Not willing. He is not willing. Because if he were willing, the devil would have a field day with your life. If God was willing to let you go, the devil would rip you and strip you so quick you wouldn't even have time to say, Lord, have mercy. But the only reason why he can't do what he wants to do to you is because the Lord is not willing. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the only reason why I'm still here is because the Lord is not willing that the devil destroys me. Give God some praise. Oh, bless his name. You know you got some folk who might be sitting in the same church with you wishing that you know, something would happen to you. But aren't you glad that the Lord, you know, every now and then, don't think everybody's saved now. Somebody go through something, that's good for. They're supposed to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and all of that. I thank God every day that my enemies don't get a chance to put a recommendation on God's hit list. That they don't get a chance to say who it is that God calls home today. Because I can look at some of you and say, I know I wouldn't be here today if God would take your recommendation. And just to be fair with you, I'm glad he wouldn't take mine. Y'all ought to hear me here. Listen, that he's not willing, that's what I rejoice about. Now look at this here. That any, somebody say any. See, God ain't, he's no respecter of persons. That any should perish. But that all should come to repentance. Only reason why he delays the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is because he's hoping the day you'll get it together. Yeah, he know what you did yesterday, last week. He knows how far you've fallen, but he's given you another chance. And he's hoping that today that you will come to your senses and put down your sins and say, Lord, I accept your will for my life. He's just hoping and trusting that maybe today the Spirit of God will be given a chance to come into your life and to convict you of your sins so that you will say, enough, I am not going any further in this backwards way. I'm going to turn around and yield my life to the Lord. And notice here, he's talking to saints. This letter is to the church. It's not for folk out there on the street. These are people here who claim to know the Lord. Who's forgotten where they've come from, who's forgotten what he's delivered them from, who's forgotten who they are to him. So listen to what he goes on to say. But the day of the Lord will come
You can just keep on thinking that God is going to sleep and he's slack concerning his promise. No, he's not slack and he hasn't gone to sleep. He's just holding back, hoping and praying that you will come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and decide to give it over. But the Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come. Amen. Look at what it says. As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Because you have seen a preview of what is coming. How much more should you have your life in order? You see, the world doesn't even know what's about to hit them. They don't know what's coming, but you do. He's going to deal a little more deeply with this later on, but he's saying you have some understanding of what's going to happen to those who are outside of the will of God, outside of the word of God, outside of the way. Look at what verse 12 says. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heaven being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And you recognize, and he's saying here that though there is a desire for the hasting of the Lord's day to come, because before the day of the Lord can come, Jesus has got to come back and rapture up his church. And though we desire to be with the Lord and look forward to the new heaven and the new earth, where we won't have to deal with all of the sins and all of the wrongs of this world, we'll be in a perfect place because we will be a perfect people with a perfect God. He's saying before all of that happens, there are some things that are going to take place. And though we want that to hurry up and happen, he's delaying that for the sinner's sake. Verse 14 says, wherein, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Listen at this. He says, because you are looking for his coming, and because you are looking for this new heaven and this new earth, get yourself together. Let me say it again. He said like this here, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things. Now, ain't no sense you talking about looking for Jesus unless you're looking for everything that's coming with Jesus. Because either on one side you're going to be blessed, or on the other side you're going to suffer destruction. So if you're looking for Jesus, then you ought to more so have your business together. Look again at what verse 15 says. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Verse 16. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. He's saying that there are some folk there who are unlearned. That's one class. And then there's another group that's unstable. Now, you've got six in one hand and half a dozen in the other. You've got the ignorant folk trying to interpret it for themselves. Well, this is what I believe the Lord means right here. Then you got the unstable kind. Well, I know what he means, but you know what? He don't mean that right now. I mean, we got a little time. And we take grace and we stretch it beyond amazing. And what he's saying is that the unlearned, those who are taking out of context the scripture, those who are not interpreting it properly, are just as bad as those who know it and are not practicing it. They are unstable, meaning that they're good today, but then before the day is over with, they've turned bad. If they're on the Lord's side today, but then on the other side, on another day, they're on the devil's side. They are unstable. You see them today, they love the Lord today. You see them tomorrow, they'll cuss you lower than a sailor. They're here today and they love Jesus and love you too. You better not speak to them the next day because they're ready to jump on you. I mean, they're unstable. I know y'all know some folk like that because some of them go to church here. I mean, one day they out shout. You can't get them from shout. Better get out their way. Next day you can't get them to say another thing. That's unstable. That should be a balance. If he's good today, is he not going to be good tomorrow? Yeah. Has he not been good yesterday? Well, regardless of how I feel, he's still deserving of my praise because he's been better to me than I could be to myself. Maybe if I praised my way, I'd get rid of that headache. Maybe if I opened up my mouth, maybe that stomach ache wouldn't hurt me so much. Maybe if I learned to dance with him instead of the devil, my corns wouldn't hurt me so bad. Maybe if